Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we're going to talk about back to basics, LinkedIn fundamentals for attorneys, and how to level up. Our guest today is Alex Morin. Alex is a competitive intelligence analyst at the firm of Morris, Nichols, Arsht, and Tunnel LLP. Alex has served at various roles within the marketing field for nearly a decade, and she has worked in the legal space for over half that time. At her current firm, she supports the competitive intelligence efforts and broader business development initiatives of the firm. When she's not nose deep in research and sharing actionable insights with attorneys, she manages her firm's social media presence from content planning to execution, and also spends the last 4 years running bi-monthly LinkedIn clinics for her firm's attorneys. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Thank you so much for having me, Guy. Look forward to sharing what I know today.
Well, we look forward to hearing everything you know, or at least a piece of it, and certainly interested in learning more about your experience working with lawyers as you help them to gain a better understanding of LinkedIn. But before we get started with the topic, maybe you could share a little bit more about you. How did you get started in the legal industry?
Sure. So I've actually been working in marketing, as you mentioned, for almost a decade. And I've worked in a variety of different spaces, all the way from a performing arts venue to a sales company. And then I found my way in legal. And the way that I found my way into legal is I had been doing a whole bunch of different marketing internships through my undergrad program, and then going into an MBA program as well. I did a graduate internship actually with my current firm, Morris Nichols, as the interim marketing manager. And then they hired me on after I graduated from my MBA program. So I've been with them now for about 5.5 years. In a couple different roles. My social media experience goes way back to my first marketing role, where I managed 4 different social media channels for a performing arts venue. And that was kind of my first taste of managing social media. I think all of the different roles I've been in since then, I've had to manage, or I've been involved in social media management in some way. So now, you know, almost 10 years later, I've learned a lot along the way, and especially with the LinkedIn clinics and running those at this firm for the past few years, I've learned a lot. And I quite enjoy the, you know, how everything changes on social media. It's really different. Every single year, there's more to learn. And so I look forward to sharing some tips and tricks that I've learned along the way.
Fantastic. That's an interesting story. I have one more question before we dive into the topic. So your title is sort of unique in terms of your title is competitive intelligence analyst, but it sounds like you're playing a marketing role at your firm, you know, in terms of managing the social media. How did it come about?
Yeah, so I actually started more a knowledge management role, and I also did some marketing as well. We kind of wear many hats at this firm. We have a relatively small team, and so everyone pitches in where they can. And my role has evolved over time to focus more on the competitive intelligence side. I had taken on the social media aspect early on because I think our bandwidth was stretched a little bit, and it was something I had experience with. So they just let me run with it and gave me a decent amount of responsibility. And over time, I've really, you know, managed from beginning to end all of our social media content. And I think that it does kind of play in well, because through my competitive intelligence research, I really do come upon a lot of LinkedIn profiles every week. And I still see a lot of room for growth for lawyers who could be doing more to optimize their profiles and their overall presence, so they can get the most out of the platform. So it is kind of funny how the two sides really do tie in well together.
Excellent. That's really, really interesting. All right, let's dive into the topic, a topic I love and are well-versed in. So from your perspective, why should attorneys join and use LinkedIn?
Well, there are just so many reasons, as I'm sure you'd agree. Over the years, I'm sure you know that LinkedIn has become very widely regarded as the most popular social networking platform for professionals. Some of the most recent figures I've seen on this are from the American Bar Association's 2021 Legal Technology Survey report. And that report noted that 87% of the respondents' law firms had a presence on LinkedIn, and 90% of individual respondents reported that they personally use LinkedIn. So it's very clear that lawyers are online, and, you know, so if you're not, you should really start to think about it. And I think LinkedIn just has so many different tools, and there are so many different ways that you can advance your goals, whether they're in career development, networking, client development, current awareness. All those different things can be achieved using LinkedIn if you have the right foundation. And I know that the lawyers at my firm and elsewhere who I've seen that have leveraged this power of LinkedIn, they've seen that their online connections do really have the ability to strengthen their real world relationships and enhance their brand's reputation and credibility at the same time.
I love it. And I completely agree with you. I think one of the things that I've seen why lawyers struggle when it comes to LinkedIn is a lot of times they're trained on how to use the tool, but they don't really understand why. You know, why should I be using it? How is it actually going to benefit me as a lawyer? So it sounds from what you're saying, you know, you really teach your lawyers why, you know, why they should be using LinkedIn. And you mentioned, you know, one thing with that, from my perspective, is one of the most important reasons, which is strengthening those relationships, right? Staying top of mind. And also at the same time, you know, gaining strategic relationships as well, building new ones as well. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely. And that's a great point. That is one thing that I start off most of my coaching sessions talking about is the why, because, you know, if lawyers don't have the why, they won't do it. If there is no strong why, you know, it'll just be another technology tool that falls by the wayside. And I really don't think that, you know, would be beneficial to them. And so I like to explain the why, focus on the long game. You know, this LinkedIn and investing your time in LinkedIn is not for anyone looking for some quick wins. You really have to invest time in the front end. Otherwise, you're going to be disappointed because, like real world relationships that take time and to develop and maintain, it also takes time and consistent effort to build a strong LinkedIn presence.
Absolutely. You know, it's, you get out what you put in is what I always tell our clients.
Yes, exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about LinkedIn profiles. You know, I see a lot of lawyer LinkedIn profiles, and I am typically shaking my head because a lot of them just aren't very good, right? A lot of lawyers leave them incomplete. You know, they'll cut and paste their bio from their website or their resume. You know, what has been your experience, and what can you share some tips about how attorneys can optimize their profiles in order to stand out?
Yes, absolutely. So like you mentioned, I also see a ton of profiles that are left incomplete or they're outdated. And it's usually pretty clear when you pull them up if their photo looks like it's, you know, grainy, it might be from 5-10 years ago, or if a description seems like it's not matching up with what their website bio says, you can tell that it's outdated. So it's really important that, you know, it is a reflection of who the individual is and that it's not misleading in any way. So I always encourage my attorneys that if you want to level up on LinkedIn, you really need to start by making sure you've covered the basics, because without that solid foundation, meaning on LinkedIn, an optimized profile and having a strong network of initial connections to begin, the other goals that you have for the platform might be hindered along the way. So thinking about the LinkedIn profile, a few things come to mind. One of the first being your profile photo. So that sets the tone of your profile. So, you know, it always stops me in my tracks if I see a profile that doesn't have a profile photo, because I think that's not sending the right message for the rest of it. So definitely do not move on without a profile photo. And again, these should be updated. These should be professionally shot photos. And I think this is usually a pretty simple fix for those who don't have one, because if you're on your firm's website, you could just ask your marketing team to send you a copy. And there's a lot of different tools out there if you need to resize it for LinkedIn. So it really is a simple fix that has that goes a long way. Another thing that sticks out to me is the headline. So I see a lot of creative things happening in other industries with folks from other industries with their headlines. But with lawyers, it seems that it's still a little cut and dry. And they follow like the default format of, I'm a partner at XYZ firm. It's pulling from your experience section. But we can be a lot more descriptive than that. So it's easier for folks to find us and to understand who we are upon looking at the profile at first glance. So folks should try to add more descriptions for their practice, like I'm an IP litigation partner, or I'm a personal injury attorney or a family lawyer. Because again, these descriptive words really help running open-ended searches looking for a particular type of lawyer. The last main section that I think folks should focus on is having a compelling about section. Because while your experience is very important, the about section appears on top of it. And it should really provide readers with a summary of what you do, who you help, and who you are before they look through the rest of your experience, which can be very lengthy depending on the profile. I definitely recommend, if you don't know where to start, yes, you can definitely pull from your firm's website biography, turn it into first person, which covers the what you do part. But I think a lot of people forget to weave in who they help specifically and who they are. So it shouldn't be this cut and dry description of, yes, you know, I work in these courts and here's what my practice covers that you can probably find on any other lawyer's profile. You want to really make sure to differentiate yourself by describing your ideal client base, talking about how you go about problem solving. Do you use a hands-on approach? Like really focus in that section on what makes you different. And then that ties into the experience section. Like you want those sections to also be very compelling and descriptive. I think I see a lot of experience sections that don't have descriptions, and I just think that's a missed opportunity because you could be listing your significant matters and clients, your firm leadership roles. You could add stats like, I've tried over a dozen cases for my clients from 2018 to 2021, like something tangible. So I think that there are some missed opportunities for people not completing the information on a LinkedIn profile. And also folks that leave the experience outdated. So if you've been practicing for a while and your focus has changed, be sure to update your profile accordingly. Those are just some of the opportunities I see. There are really so many different things that you could focus on with a profile, but those are really what I consider to be the core sections that lawyers should focus on.
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good2Be Social website and look for the Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook.
Wow, that is a wealth of content and advice. So thank you for that. I want to highlight one thing you said because I totally agree with you. And I think it's a huge missed opportunity for lawyers. You were talking about the about section. And from my perspective, the about section is really an opportunity to tell the story of who you are. And so you mentioned writing it in the first person. I think it's super important to make you more approachable and you know, human. And I like what you said in terms of, it's not just what you do, right? But who do you work with? What kind of clients do you help? Are there businesses? Are there individuals? Is there a specific industry focus? And then I think I heard you mention, which is something I always feel like lawyers miss, is how do you actually help those clients, right? What are the problems or issues or opportunities that you help them with? Because I think a lot of times clients or prospective clients, they're looking for a lawyer that not only understands them, but also has experience in solving the type of issue that they have. So I think that's a really important thing to have in your about section.
Yes, absolutely. I think that I'm seeing that more and more on LinkedIn profiles, but there's still definitely a solid group that are missing out. And it's such an easy thing to add and a good exercise for anyone to figure out what really is my value proposition.
Completely agree. All right, let's talk a little bit about content. So a lot of lawyers struggle with creating content. They basically say, I just don't have the time for it. But for those lawyers that are looking to take the next step with their LinkedIn presence, what suggestions would you have for them about how to regularly plan and create engaging content?
Sure. So one thing that you kind of hinted at is, you know, building dedicated time into your schedule to do that. So if you're ready to level up and really start regularly creating content and engaging with the online community, you know, reminders are your best friend, whether it's in your Outlook calendar, on your phone, in your written planner. It's really important to build the habit of dedicating time to work on your content calendar, because I know that lawyers and even I'm the kind of person that I will simply do not do something if it is not blocked out in my calendar. So one of the most important things for content planning is make the time. One of the other things that I'd mention is I think a lot of folks get overwhelmed when it comes to sharing content because they think it all needs to be original. And while that's wonderful to have original content, don't overwhelm yourself thinking that it all needs to be original. There's already so much great content out there. So you can make sure to weave in reposts of firm content, industry news, blogs, publications, anything that you think might be of interest to your clients and connections. And if you install the LinkedIn app on your phone, which I highly recommend, you'll see a ton of this content in your feed if you're following companies that report on things within your area of expertise. And LinkedIn still gives you the ability to share comments along with your reposts. So that would be your opportunity to share some practical insights with your connections. And one other thing that would be helpful to folks in content planning is taking advantage of social media management platforms like Hootsuite or Sprout Social. That way you can schedule your posts in advance and you're not tied to your computer whenever you'd like to post something. So that can really save you time once you've done your content planning.
Fantastic. So if you're going to spend time creating content or even as you said, sharing other people's content, there are some best practices, some tips and tricks about how the LinkedIn algorithm actually has an impact on content. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Sure, absolutely. So thinking about the LinkedIn algorithm, it works pretty similar to other algorithms on social media networks. And I think the great thing about the LinkedIn algorithm is that it rewards content marketing that its users find helpful. So that means that users are engaging with your content, they're liking it, commenting, sharing, they're keeping it on their screen for prolonged periods of time. And so if users are actively engaging with your content and they're finding it helpful over time, the algorithm will ensure that more of it appears on their newsfeed, which is great news because our goal is to share substantive and very helpful content anyway. So I think some quick tips that I think about when coaching my lawyers is try to use keywords. Like what words would you want folks to search to make your article or your blog post or whatever piece of content it is come up, and make sure to weave those keywords throughout, thinking about like SEO. Also hashtags that are similar are very helpful. I also think about including a visual element. So LinkedIn will prioritize your posts if you have photos, videos, anything that will create some interest. So I often suggest to try to include those wherever possible. My last comment about this would be taking advantage of the comments, like really try to get your community to engage and try consider adding an action item at the bottom of whatever your post is saying, hey, share your thoughts in the comment section below, because LinkedIn will prioritize your post in your connections news feeds if they see that people are engaging and there's an active discussion going on. And one more thought actually about sharing content, just a piece of advice is to follow content creators who specialize in social media marketing.
Excellent tips. Excellent tips. All right. Well, unfortunately, Alex, we have run out of time for today. I'd love to have you back on the show sometime in the future. But before we let you go, what would be one actionable takeaway that you can leave with your audience? Maybe a piece of advice for someone that's just really getting started in helping their lawyers learn how to use LinkedIn and social media.
Absolutely. So I think my biggest tip is make the time. It is absolutely worth the time. So as I've mentioned a couple times throughout this podcast, make sure you're putting reminders in your calendar to check in on your newsfeed, to optimize your profile, like your about section, like make sure that everything is as compelling and as personal to you as it can be and really tells like the well-rounded story of who you are and how you work, who you help. It's just very important that you cover those basics before you try to, you know, run away and start posting multiple times throughout the week. Like really make sure you have your basics down before you level up. That would be my one piece of advice. It's absolutely worth your time.
Fantastic, Alex. Well, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and insights with us today. I think our listeners have definitely learned a lot, and I really do appreciate it. For our audience, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, you can go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there. You can also check out some of our great past episodes. Alex, thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it. And, you know, like I said, we'd love to have you back on the show sometime in the future.
Thank you so much, Guy. I really appreciate your time.
Fantastic. To our audience, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. We will see you next time.